Our passage of Scripture this morning comes to us from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, reading the third chapter, verses 14 through 21. Hear these words. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Saint Paul said to the Ephesians, by the power that is at work within us, God is able to accomplish far more, immeasurably more, than we can ask or imagine. I know that that's true here at Boone United Methodist Church. 150 years ago, a small handful of Christians here in Watauga County were called by God to start a new church home. At first, they met in the old courthouse, which was on King Street. Then in 1866, they were able to marshal up enough funds to be able to build a small one-room church house, which was located on the corner of Water and King Street. For the next 50 years, this congregation grew. Now, this next picture is one that you'll probably remember. Many of us remember this church. By 1923, 247 members of this church had become the center of this community. And by 1981, the membership had grown to over 700. Then on July the 1st, 1981, a shaping event took place in the life of this congregation. While repairing the roof, a tar pot ignited, started a fire, which destroyed our sanctuary. I was a freshman at Appalachian State University at the time. And I remember talking with Donald George and then George Thompson about the challenges that the church was facing at that point, and thinking that tough times come, even to church families. But in the midst of those times, God works in powerful ways. Immediately following the fire, a building team was named and began to work. And in 1982, construction began on a new sanctuary. Why is it important to remember our past? Because our past informs us of who we are and whose we are. We are a people that trust God in all circumstances. We live by faith. And our God is amazing. By 1984, the new sanctuary was completed and at a cost of $1.2 million. And the thing that I find amazing is that this church was paid off in 7 years, $1.2 million. Friends, God has been faithful to this church. And God has provided over the years. Then in the 1990s, a courageous decision of faith was made. I call it a decision because there were people in this congregation who believed that God was calling us to something more. Church is more than land. It's more than buildings. Church is the people of God. And yet, in order to reach more people for Christ, this church decided to relocate to New Market Boulevard. Today, Boone United Methodist Church is a center of faith in the high country. It is the best example of faith that I know of in our annual conference. And on a personal note, this church has been a blessing to me and to my family. And I thank you for all that you have meant to us. When I retire, which is going to be in about 12, 13 years from now, my wife, Chris, and I are going to move to our cabin, which is located north of here. We're going to come. If it's okay with David Hockett, we're going to join Boone United Methodist Church. And may even start a Sunday school class. Who knows? I want to be a part of this church because I want to be a part of what God is doing in this church. Years ago, Max Lucado said something that really made an impression on me. He said, "All my life, I pictured God as being like a benevolent boss. You know, I had my job, God had his job. I had my territory, God had his territory. I would check in as often as I could, and I tried to do the best job that I could with my job, because I wanted to please God in all things." He said, God is like a benevolent boss. I do my thing, we do our thing, and God does his thing. And we try to please him in all that we do. But that's wrong, said Max Lucado. We do not work for God. Rather, we work with God. And there's a difference. When we work for God, then it depends on me, it depends on you, it depends on our ability to work together. But when we work with God, it depends on how God chooses to bless us and how faithful we are to Him. When we work for God, then I promise you, there's going to come a point where you're going to get tired, you're going to get worn down, you're going to get weary, get frustrated, maybe even fed up. But when we work with God, there are those amazing God moments that occur along the way that empower us and unite us and enable us to fulfill God's purposes here through this church. When we work for God, then there's a limited amount that I can do, that you can do, and that even we can do together. But when we work with God, all things are possible. Because all things are possible through God. Friends, Boone United Methodist Church is proof of this. And in our passage of Scripture that I read for you this morning, this is what Paul is praying for. In his letter to the Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prayed, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father. I pray that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." I pray that His Spirit will be here this morning, strengthening us. Because when you think of all that's going on in our world today, we need to be strong in His Spirit. On February the 12th, 2015, 21 migrant workers from Egypt were captured in Libya by ISIS and executed. You saw this in the news. I can't imagine. 20 of them were Coptic Christians from a small town in Egypt, from a relatively small church. Can you imagine if 20 young men from our church were to go off to work and something like this were to happen? I can't even think about that. One of the church members said, "Our consolation is that the name of Jesus was on their lips." This is true, y'all. Throughout the whole ordeal, these 20 Christians were whispering the name of Jesus over and over and over again. That's the source of our strength. But I said there were 21. We now know that one of the migrant workers, a man named Matthew Ayega, was not from Egypt. He was from Chad. He was not a Christian at the time that the ordeal began. But when the ISIS captors demanded that he renounce what they called the delusion of the cross, he turned, pointed to the 20 believers, and said, "Their God is my God." Friends, I know that's an extreme example, but we live in an extreme world during extreme times, and I ask you, should our faith be any less? Should our witness be any less? We need to be strong in the Spirit for our Lord today. And you say, "Well, John, that's on the other side of the world. We live in Boone, North Carolina." Yeah, and I'll tell you why Boone, North Carolina is important. This church has always had a strong children's ministry. Colette and Dan Krantz and all those who work with the children. Oh my goodness, the dance to see them walk in this morning and to be a part of the children's message. This church has always had a strong children's ministry. This church has always had a strong youth ministry through Vern Collins when I was there and Andy Ellis and all those who work with our youth. When you think of the world that our children and our youth are growing up in, we need to be strong in the Spirit in order for them to see us and to be strong in the Spirit. See, I also think that this church is strategically located because of its proximity to Appalachian State University. That's why I first became involved in this church. Because I was a student at Appalachian State in the Wesley Foundation under John Magnuson, and came to worship here to hear Don George and George Thompson preach. And many of my classmates are here this morning. If you're here because of homecoming at Appalachian State, raise your hand. There's a couple of them. Friends, this church has always had a shaping influence, not only in the life of our children and our youth, but in the life of young adults who come to this church and through this church. And I know that they're strong in the Lord because I bumped into them in Charlotte. I've bumped into them in the triad. And the impact that this church has made in their lives is significant. My prayer for Boone United Methodist Church is that people will come here, point at us, and say, "Their God is my God." That God will send people to this church and through this church to be an influence for Christ, not only in the high country, but beyond, wherever God may send them. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that by the power at work within us, that we will be strengthened in His Spirit. And we need to be strong in the Spirit today. Will you agree with me on that? Yeah. Amen. Paul also said that we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Oh. See, now normally when we think of love, we think of sweet, we think of awe, we think of sentimental love. Like when my wife and I first fell in love. And don't worry, I have permission to tell this. We had been dating a couple of weeks and she said, "You need a haircut." And I said, "Well, go get your scissors." And she said, "I can't cut hair." And I said, well, no one can until they try. She said, but you don't understand. I don't know how. I said, well, there's no time to learn like the president. Go get your scissors. She said, well, what if I mess up? And I said, I only want to look good for you. Oh, man. She fell for it hook, line, and sinker, y'all. And she is still cutting my hair today. That is love. But that's not even close to what Paul's talking about in our letter this morning. Rather, the kind of love that Paul's talking about is the kind of love that Christ has shown us. It's sacrificial love. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. It is self-giving love. It is turn the other cheek, pray for those who persecute you, and love your enemies kind of love. This love that these new Christians had experienced was so powerful that they made up a word for it. They called it agape. It's love like Aja Risher. Who is Aja Risher? On June the 17th, 2015, her grandmother went to church, as always, to a prayer meeting that night at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. A young man walked into that prayer meeting, spent an hour in prayer with them, and then in a crime of hate, committed the unthinkable. How do you respond to something like that? Aja Risher said, I want my grandmother's legacy to be a legacy of love. I want her to be a catalyst for this country to change. That's the kind of love that Paul is talking about in our letter this morning. At a time when many people in our world would have returned with anger, they would have maybe even been violent, they would have wanted retaliation, the Christians of Charleston, South Carolina came together in prayer, in unity, and in love. Friends, this is how we're called to respond to the world in which we live. Every church needs to be rooted and grounded in love. Every church needs to be strong in the Spirit. When the young man was caught and taken to the courthouse for trial, the members of AME, Emmanuel AME Zion Church, went to the front steps of the courthouse and offered love, reconciliation, and forgiveness. Now, to borrow a quote from O Brother, Where Art Thou, the state of South Carolina had a different set of standards. But when these Christians stood on the steps of the courthouse and offered forgiveness, it had a huge impact. The next morning, Al Jazeera News Network ran an article entitled, Christian Forgiveness is Transforming the South. In our passage of Scripture this morning, Paul prayed, I pray that you will be strengthened in your inner being with the power through the Spirit. We need to be strong in the Spirit. Paul said, I pray that you may know the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And finally, Paul said, to God who is able to accomplish abundantly, immeasurably, far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I close with this thought. Today is homecoming here at Boone United Methodist Church. I have had an incredible weekend. It's homecoming at Appalachian State, where I went to school. I walked across the campus, saw so many old friends, watched the football game, go App. But so many of my memories surround this church. and the ASU Wesley Foundation. It was here that I first wrestled with my call into the ministry. I will remember the influence of John Magnuson. And Brad, I know that you're making a difference in so many college students' lives today as well. I entered the candidacy for ministry under Reverend Don George and then George Thompson. What an incredible influence you were in my life, and still are an influence. Thank you. Thank you for being here as a church for me when I was wrestling and trying to discern God's call in my life. When I was appointed as pastor of this church, I was thankful every day to be here among you and to be a part of what God is doing. You know, I sit back and I try to remember what I accomplished as the pastor of this church, and for the life of me, I cannot remember a single thing. But just walking back into this place today, I am flooded with memories of what God accomplished when we were working together with Him in this place. This is an amazing church. Thank you for all those memories. Then last year, on July 11th, 2015, oh my goodness, I conducted a wedding ceremony in this sanctuary. And y'all, I'm not bragging, but I know how to do a wedding. I have done a lot of weddings. I have the wedding liturgy memorized. I can do a wedding in my sleep, falling off the sofa after taking a hard nap. I know how to do a wedding. But on July 11, 2015, I could hardly speak. I stood at the altar of this church, and I looked out at my son, Ben. And I asked him, Ben, do you take Mary to be your wife? And in that moment, God spoke to me. It was more like a realization. I mean, Lord, this is a heck of a time to speak. I mean, we can have the emotional moments a little bit later on. I got to get through this service, and I would appreciate your help. No, in that moment, He spoke to me. And I realized, maybe it wasn't just me that God has been calling to this place and this church over the years. Maybe God was also calling them to be a part of this community and a part of this church at critical junctures in their life. Friends, when we live in the Spirit, when the power of His Spirit is at work within us, strengthening us to face whatever He has in store for us in our life, when we know the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of Christ in our lives and are willing to share that with others, then by the power of God that is at work within us, our God is able to accomplish far more than we can ask or think or imagine. Paul prayed that we would be strong in the Spirit. He prayed that we would be rooted and grounded in love. And he prayed that the glory would be to God in the church and in Christ Jesus our Lord to all generations, and all the people of God said, Amen.